Yeah.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody. Okay, so we have a big freaking day today. We have JoJo Fletcher in the building.
You guys.
People have been asking for this.
Oh, such a good day.
We're honored for you to be here.
Feels good.
Tanya's right here.
I'm right here.
JoJo.
Becca.
What's up?
Becca. You know, I've seen you guys for the last couple of days, but it feels different today. Just hanging. I'm here in LA for like, what, a week?
Yeah, for a full week. You have been staying at my home, but you left me last night.
Left you last night, and I will say I was glad to see Jordan, but it was sad leaving.
Thank you.
It was sad leaving.
I do have to say, I was watching your Instagram story of Becca like literally laying on top of you, and I will say that it's been I have been that person that I'm like laying on top of Becca, and she's pushing me off of her.
Wait, she wasn't really. I was more like it
she
wasn't.
Was
I was being
abusing
like gentle.
Me. She
I
was abusing like, me.
Yeah. Oh, you were just being mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
can we address this and have you all discuss who? There's a lot of sort of touching amongst your threesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's this fan account out there. Like, I don't know. Can I talk about this?
Sure.
Okay. I'm a very touchy-feely person. With my friends, with my family. But there's someone out there that's made an Instagram called JoJo and Becca Are Lesbian Lovers. It's Becca.
And so, I run the account.
So now I'm always
Wait,
a little
what's
scared.
The name of
this
account?
Look it up.
Yeah. Becca and JoJo are lesbian lovers.
That is the name.
Okay, hello.
It's always a little scary, too. I'm like, should I post that snap? It looks a little too close.
I know. Every time we post a photo, JoJo's like, anxiety goes to the roof.
I look like her girlfriend.
I'm like, listen. You have a fiance. I'm the suspicious one at this point.
That's very true.
It's fine, though. I don't care. I mean, I'm like very, I would say like, Tanya, literally, we're basically girlfriends at this point.
It's
and
true.
So like, it's, I've just accepted it. If people think we're lesbians, whatever.
Right. No shame.
Yeah,
right?
No shame in my game.
I like that you're a touchy person.
It's like the Persian in me. My whole family's like that.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Like my mom, the whole culture is so touchy-feely. It's always kiss on the lips and squeeze the face. And
do people know you're half Persian?
I don't know. I wish I looked more half Persian. I'm really trying to go for this ethnic look. I keep seeing photos of Kim Kardashian, and I'm like, I'm halfway there. Like, I'm halfway Armenian, Persian. They're so close, yet I'm so far.
I know.
So it's really frustrating.
JoJo tries to do things that Kim Kardashian does. I'm like, your coloring's a little different.
Right.
The silver white hair might not look the same.
Well, I'm going to have to leave in an hour, and I'm going to ask for the white hair at my
no,
hair appointment.
No, you're not.
I'm going to see what they say.
Let me know what they say, because I
see what they
imagine
say.
That does not go well.
Okay, do you know what I want you two to talk about?
Tell us.
Because I know everybody knows that you guys obviously met on The Bachelor, mm-hmm. but I think it's interesting to talk about how you go on the show to essentially date the same guy and you come out with a best friend and kind of how that happens on like a show where you're wanting to date the same guy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a very common
great
question.
And I want to know, when was the moment
that we were in love? Yeah.
We know there's a very clear moment in our friendship.
Okay, but we were close before that, but that was when it was like.
But we were still good. In the mansion, though, so it had to have been the first 2 weeks. No, I'm talking about that night where.
Spanx?
Oh, no. We were close before Spanx.
Yeah, that's what I was.
No, the night where we got just hammered.
Oh, yeah.
And I like broke your toe. Yeah. You like kind of got in a fight with Jubilee that we didn't even know what happened.
Okay, it was. First of all, I did not drink on Chris Soul season at all.
Don't put this on me, okay?
And then JoJo's all, let's take a shot of Fireball one night.
I was nervous.
And things really escalated. I think there's video on the bloopers, and we're sitting on the couch, and your stomach or throat,
and
we're like
burped.
Burping. Yeah. And you, I remember that night, we were like, man.
Yeah, it was a good night, though.
It was good. But and then the night that we were like, we are connected.
There's no going back.
Was when JoJo let me wear her Spanx.
That I had already worn walking around Mexico City in 100 degrees.
Ew.
Not to mention it was a thong Spanx.
Ew.
I know.
You guys, I need my dress looks
first
bad.
First of all, it's gross that she asked for it.
Yeah.
Not that I gave it to her.
I like, wore underwear. There was blockage. There was like
sick.
A barrier.
I was so grossed
I
out.
I know. It wasn't my
filthy.
Best. It wasn't either of our best moments, but.
More on you. It was more,
yeah.
More on you. I was just being a
yeah,
loyal.
Good friend.
Good friend.
Disgusting.
Whatever. Bye. Y'all mean nothing to me. I'm talking to Amy now.
I started thinking about things that I would share and things that I wouldn't.
Is thong Spanx one of the ones you would not
hard pass, yeah. Hard pass.
Maybe if you wash them in the sink first.
I did that. Okay. I tried. Okay. But I then they were them. Wet. We couldn't dry them.
It was really, let's just say we ended up throwing them away.
I won't share underwear or deodorant. Those are just.
No, I can do deodorant.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not worried about. I thought I was worried about a lot of these things, but now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm just gross.
Yeah, some people are really worried about sharing like their lipsticks or their.
Would y'all share a toothbrush?
I've used your toothbrush not too long ago, actually.
Why? You have your own in
now, my... last time I was here, I think I forgot it. Oh, I don't know if I told you, but I did use it.
I don't mind.
I don't know. I don't think I like the toothbrush.
I don't love it, but I've used Jordan's.
Yeah, I'll use a boyfriend's, no problem.
I don't care.
That's like same germs, whatever.
I consider you like clean.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Did you like the you're kind of clean. You're fine.
Yeah.
I bought a new toothbrush immediately, actually. Switched out with my Quip. Should we go into our Quip spot?
I feel like it's nice to have JoJo because she is in a steady, good relationship.
Right.
Which is something that Becca and I lack in.
Struggle with. But y'all are very different. Y'all are so different.
But both very single.
Very single. But y'all are so different. Becca, I think, has a fear of commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. Where Tanya wants it so badly. And so.
That is such an excellent observation.
Yeah. But Tanya, honestly, I feel like you've kind of turned a new leaf where you're like, no, I'm a bad bee. Like I don't need anybody.
Yeah.
But you still mojo's really
yeah,
bad.
It's because my mojo's
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And me?
You were still working on it.
What do I fix though?
You think you're like asexual. You have no feelings towards anything, anyone.
I do. No, I do. I just haven't felt them in a while.
That's the one question I feel like you always are asking. You're like, is it possible for me to feel this way about somebody? Because it's been a long time.
Do you know what, though? I started thinking, and I'm not going to talk about too many details, but I started thinking about the last person that I really had intense feelings where I got nervous and excited if they texted me. And I think I got semi-rejected in that. And so I think I fear that almost.
Yeah.
That's normal.
I think it's
breakthroughs right here.
I know. I think that you could really benefit from therapy.
We talked about this yesterday. We talked about how I think it's very good. Like, I'm not going to therapy right now. But I do think it's not a bad idea for people to go and talk about their feelings and do a little bit of soul searching because sometimes you don't even know there's a
problem.
That's
what I was going to say. I need someone to ask the right questions, I think.
We can do it here.
Yeah.
I think that'd be something I want to do in privacy.
We should call your dad. Isn't he a therapist?
Psychologist. Oh. I was like, my dad. He's a psychiatrist. So, I mean, he could help Becca, but I feel like he deals with
deeper.
Yeah, darker. Like depression and like schizophrenia and like.
Not there yet, you guys. Yet. Speaking of, I want to talk about something first of all, I want to talk about this because we're on the topic. We got an email. This is from Whitney. The podcast is absolutely amazing. Do you think you should instantly feel butterflies or fireworks when dating someone? Or do you think sometimes it happens within time the more you get to know someone? I'm torn. I would love to know Becca and Tanya's thoughts on this if they've experienced it. I mean, I think it's totally situational. I think sometimes you feel it right off the bat and then sometimes maybe they're developed over time.
I think the fireworks and the butterflies are more for lust, in my opinion.
Oh, wow.
I think those are the people that you necessarily shouldn't be with.
I want that.
I know. And this is the thing. We watch Grey's Anatomy. We watch all these shows. We get these ideas of relationships in our head that we're like, if I'm not feeling that, is this what it's supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of skewing things a bit.
I don't think so, because I felt it with someone before.
Well, the first time I met Jordan, I was super butterfly giddy. But I think I actually found lust. It's lust, and then you find your love for them deeper on. So I think it just starts with that. It
but
should
it is
start
important
with that.
To have that, I think. We
I
call
do too.
It two things. The first kiss tingle. So that kiss, you got to feel that.
Yeah, because how many times have you kissed someone and you're like,
nothing.
Kiss,
nothing. Yeah.
25
And then
times.
I also think.
Wow.
More than.
It is important. It is important to be very attracted to the person.
Yes.
Because if you are with them in the long haul, you want 25 years later to be like,
dang.
Yeah.
He's
hot. Smoking.
Not even physically, though. I think you become attracted to just, like, everything about them. They're, like, essence. Is that the right word?
I do think the butterflies are important. I think that you should feel those in the beginning. That's what I think.
For sure in the beginning. Yeah. If they're not there in the beginning, then...
You're screwed. Yeah,
things are going to be hard down the road, I feel. But what do I know? I need therapy.
I didn't mean for that to be a dig.
I don't think it's bad.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I didn't
I'm just saying. I mean, I think I question, like, any advice I give, is it good as far as, because I don't even.
No, I think the advice you give is amazing. I think that there's obviously, because I think I'm dealing with the same thing, too. Remember, I told you, if there's something that from my past breakup that I didn't deal with at the time that I think is still haunting me today that I don't know what it is. So that's why I want to go to therapy.
It's the old phrase, those who cannot do teach.
Yeah.
Because you have so much experience failing.
Right.
So it actually is good to be the one giving advice.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like it too.
You brought up a great topic that I want to discuss, which is Grey's Anatomy. We all three watch Grey's Anatomy religiously.
Yes.
Last week, I think it's not on a good path right now.
I'm so scared it's about to come to an end. I am so scared about it.
You didn't like this last episode either?
No. I heard you liked it.
What did you like?
Yeah.
I didn't just like it. I loved it.
I am like upset. Like I kind of am like want to fight.
I think it shows a lot of promise. The patient that.
Promise?
Yeah. The patient that. Sadly, rest in peace, ended up dying.
The judge.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we gotta say spoiler alert.
But I think that she showed a little bit of Meredith, showed a little bit of a spark with the patient that she could be in love again.
What?
What are you talking? You're making things up.
I'm not making things up,
She
you guys.
Blacked out when she was watching this.
No, and then
she's
we
like desperate
this.
For Meredith to be with anyone, so if Meredith talks to someone, there's a spark.
There was a spark there. There was a spark. And then
they were friends. They knew each other.
He died in one episode. There wasn't.
I know.
Like a-
when he died, I was a little bit like, Shonda, can we just have let this live a little bit longer? It really upset me, but it shows promise. I also love the ending where DeLuca runs into this,
hated
this girl.
It.
Hated it.
More- Why?
It could didn't not- even fit. It didn't. It didn't make sense.
It's so irrelevant. I could not care less about him or like new people.
No, these are the new interns. These are
don't
people-
care. It's too late in the game for Grey's Anatomy to bring in these. Characters that no one knows.
No.
I'm stressed.
Yeah, the interns keep it fresh and moving. I like the interns, especially we don't know what their past is. So I'm very excited to see that unfold. And then everything else was kind of like meh. Oh, and then Amelia gets it on in the on-call room. What we've been
with
asking
the guy
for.
That
someone
she doesn't even like. The guy's squirmy and creepy.
Literally no. Could not care. If there's anyone in an on-call room that I don't care about, it's either Owen or Amelia. And that's who ended up, like, hooking up at the end.
Yeah.
I think it shows promise. I think this week's episode showed promise for the future.
That is such a hopeful, optimistic view because it is not in a good place.
I miss the feels.
Me too.
Back to, like, the beginning seasons where after every episode, you'd either cry because you're happy, cry because you're sad, cry because you just don't know why, but it made you feel something.
Or the song was sad.
Yes.
Like anything.
They need to bring back the fray. They need to bring they need to bring it all back, you guys.
Honestly, I mean, if it ends this season and these are the types of episodes we're getting, I'm going to be devastated. I'm all sorry. Around. First of all, we
they need to bring
to
Yang
about
back.
Some.
That
have
would be a game changer.
I was watching old episodes. I think that was my problem. I watched old episodes all day before I watched this last one, and I was like, this is not.
They don't compare. I know.
I don't have any feelings towards anyone right now.
I know.
And like a gun up in the uterus.
That was much. I was like.
Fully in the uterus.
Yeah. It's that was
They're
bad.
Reaching now. They're reaching for stories.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. We're really good at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Warning people.
After we say it.
After we say it, we're getting it.
Yeah.
So, I think you're, sometimes I think you disagree with me just to get me riled up.
No. I went into this episode really expecting it to be bad because of what you said. And I was like, I don't even want to watch it. Ugh, I'll watch it because the podcast is tomorrow. And then I ended it and was like, hell yeah.
Oh, no,
Can't
Tanya.
Wait for next week.
The intern, when she's all, they're both pretty. I wonder what will happen next. I'm like, this is the worst. It's like Riverdale.
Oh, no. Okay. No. I don't know why I like Riverdale.
Everyone does.
Oh,
it's like an odd man out here.
Yeah. It's bad, but it's so good.
Oh, no. It's so good. There's nothing bad about it.
Acting's not the best.
Oh.
But, you know, just cheese. Cheese ball, you know?
Tanya. Jenny, you can agree that the acting's
not. I love the show.
I love everything
Oscar
about Riverdale. Worthy. I love everything about it. I think they're excellent actors. As a matter of fact, we should have one of them in here.
Okay. Ugh. We don't agree on this. We clearly have different tastes when it comes to TV shows. But one thing we do agree on is HelloFresh.
That's true.
It's easy. They send you everything you need. It's a fun process and it's quick. And for someone like myself who does not cook often.
And you don't really like grocery shopping, let's be honest.
I don't like leaving my home. Yeah. So it's delivered straight to me.
I love HelloFresh.
Yeah. You cook. You both of y'all cook.
We had them sent to our house and we started making them and they were really good meals. Yeah. And then I let my brothers try them and they loved them.
I know. My mom and dad
get
them every week.
Bonus. Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, mom and dad approve, brothers approve. We all approve. HelloFresh is the way to go. They create amazing recipes, send you all the freshest ingredients, step-by-step instructions, and it's only going to take you 30 minutes, even if you never cook, like me. The meals are creative, delicious, nutritionally balanced, which is very important, mm-hmm. and it's the perfect portion, and it's sent directly to your door. So you don't cook too much. You don't have to leave the house. It's ideal.
You're here this Thursday.
I'm here.
We should do it Thursday.
Yeah.
Cook a family meal?
Yeah, and watch Grace.
Does anybody on Thursday want to go with me to Gwyneth Paltrow's store and get an intuitive reading?
We're trying to cook HelloFresh. Okay, anyways, Amy will think about it. But that'll be after our HelloFresh experience.
Yay!
Okay, so for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code BeccaT30. So that's HelloFresh.com, promo code BeccaT30. Can't wait. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So to wrap up the Grace chat, if you take out the sporting events that were happening, which there were some big ones going on, Grace was the number 4 show on TV last week.
Blows my mind.
I don't think it's going anywhere, but I would appreciate it if they upped the game a little
bit. You know what? We're loyal fans.
Oh, I'll never stop watching, ever. I'll watch it. I'll complain about it. I'll love it. I will never stop watching. Yeah. But I would love for it to end on like a bang and not like a...
Like dagger in your heart.
I want to feel like...
I want to think about it for a long time
yeah. after it's over.
Yeah.
The stuff I like.
No guns in the vagina.
Yeah. Yeah, no more guns. No more guns in the vagina.
Okay. So moving on. We have a very special guest today. We have Stephanie Hallman from... Housewives Dallas.
D-Town represents. Yes.
We have two Dallas girls in the house.
So exciting.
What are the chances?
The stars have aligned.
Yes, it's so good.
We have The Bachelorette, JoJo Fletcher. And we have Real Housewife Dallas, Stephanie Hallman. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited.
Thank you for being here. Okay, so we talk a lot about, just to prepare you, we talk a lot about relationships, how Tania and I aren't in one mm-hmm. and bad at them. Mm-hmm. JoJo brings an element of success in relationships for today's
episode. And we have a married.
And we have a married, successful
single engaged married. Yay. Okay, good stuff.
So how did you and your husband meet? What's the story there? We like these.
Oh my gosh.
Jumping right into it.
I mean, it's nothing fab. It's not like, you know, JoJo's experience or anything. It's like, I call it like drunken love at first sight,
I
where
love
you like
that
go
word.
Out, you get a little drunk, and you meet a guy, and you make out, and then it's awkward because he wants to see you again. but we just met. At dinner through mutual friends, ended up drinking a little too much wine, making out.
Ooh.
And then
butterflies.
Yeah, it was just so romantic. And then we started dating. I lived in Oklahoma. He lived in Texas.
Okay.
So like he would come to Oklahoma or I'd come to Texas every weekend. And he proposed like within 6 months. I think he just hated the drive, you know?
See? When you know, you know.
He knew.
Yes, just don't live where they live.
Did you meet him at a bar in Dallas?
I met him at Nobu, the restaurant in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Good sushi?
Yes.
All right.
Y'all know how I feel about long distance.
Yeah. That's like Becca's goal.
Long distance fuels the relationship.
Fire.
Fuels the fire.
Yes, it does.
Fire for her. How long have y'all been married?
It'll be 10 years in April.
Wow.
So crazy.
Okay, let me ask a question. So you've been with your husband for 10 years. You have how many kids?
Two little boys.
Okay. From the moment you started dating him till now, how has your relationship changed? Your feelings?
It's different. You get almost too comfortable at times. Mm. He's like, babe, can you really just like not do that, you know, like
you toot in front of him.
Oh my, yes, I'm just nasty. Yes, I mean, there's like nothing is sacred. Nothing.
Thought.
Yes.
I had the same thought.
Nothing is sacred anymore. He's like, babe, it's just not hot. But like, you what? Know, like after you have children, it's just. I mean, you just.
But we were just talking about the butterflies, and you know when you're supposed to feel them, if you're supposed to feel them in the beginning, if you're feeling them towards the middle, the end of your relationship. How has the butterflies changed with you guys?
You know, I think kids bring an element where it's like almost, I don't know, it's like you guys against the world almost. Like there's this like camaraderie and there's this like your family and that's everything. But then it's also children are hard because it's hard to like feel hot and sexy, especially when they're really young because you have like
you
diaper changing
right
and everything.
I know, I'm
so you're so
to
sweet. So
I'm
like
they can't see you. You look great and
oh,
this
you're
is not
so sweet. No. But I think it gets like you just have to put more effort in after children. I think we have to do date nights.
Yeah.
And,
but
you know.
Do you think it's important to feel the first kiss tingle so that later when the diapers and all that, you're like, you're hot because I knew you were hot.
Like y'all both still think each other are hot and like you want to.
No.
It.
And it's still like you still feel everything and you can. But it's just a little bit more like I feel like after children, just a little bit more effort like. You know, it's hard to get it on whenever there are fingers under the doors. Like, mommy! You know, it's like, okay, go to bed. Yeah, it's been like an hour and you're still not sleeping.
Kids can't wait.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I've been pressuring JoJo to have a baby.
You have to stop pressuring.
She keeps, telling me no.
It's so fun, but it's hard.
It'll come in time.
Okay.
In time, everyone.
So I want to talk about the show. You have the reunion special. It airs tonight.
Yes, it does.
Well, tonight. I mean, people listening...
Tonight, 10, 9 central.
It's tonight, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Tonight, what time?
10, 9 central.
10, 9 central. Okay, mm-hmm. So what's the drama? What's the drama going to be? What can we expect?
Oh, my gosh. The reunion is always kind of the same thing as I felt like last year. It's like really dysfunctional group therapy between six ladies. And you're like, okay, we are way too old to act like this, but here we go. But no, it was reunion's kind of my favorite thing because I feel like there's a lot of things that – especially with people's blogs, and you just kind of get angry and you see things people say behind your back. And the reunion's kind of where you can
put it
all out there and hopefully get some closure. But it's very dramatic. So the audience should be entertained.
I'm a Housewife fan. Like, I watch all of them. And I always wonder, like, you know, you see things on Twitter and everyone. Are you guys friends outside of the show?
Yeah, honestly, I hang out with Brandy and Carrie a lot. I don't know. It's more of like a working relationship.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever you work with some people so often, like the friends that I've had for like 10 plus years from Dallas when I moved here, I don't see them a lot when I'm filming. So when I'm not filming, a lot of my goal is to see my friends that I've neglected for, you know, 4 to 5 months that we're filming.
Because they make it seem like you guys always run in the same crowd and you're always bumping into them at the bars
right,
or the
right.
restaurants.
Never.
And
I really maybe once every 2 months I'll run into
so interesting.
It's weird. I mean, you have a schedule where you have to run into them for 4 months of your life. But whenever you're not, you just kind of, you know, do your own thing.
Can I just ask a couple questions?
Yeah,
I'm very curious.
Like, she's a junkie.
So I know on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, you know, producers, they kind of, you know, plant situational things to happen where they create the drama. And, you know, I'm not the best at, like, faking my reactions because I already kind of know something's gonna happen. When I watch The Housewives, you guys are crazy.
Yes.
Like,
no, I would
y'all
agree.
Are crazy. And it's like, I know that's not fake.
Yes.
Or you're like really good at acting.
So
what
a
happens?
lot of the stuff happens, you know, like a lot of the drama happens. I almost feel like, especially season one when I ended, I was like, it's almost like you're like on Survivor and it's, I don't know, it's like get her before she gets you. You don't want anyone. Yeah, it's like you don't want to be the person that like gets exiled out of. So I feel like sometimes like people say things to you about somebody else, but then you're put in a really awkward position. Do not relay this information that you know is on air to the next person.
Right.
Like it's kind of a, you know, it's bad if you do, bad if you don't. And then also like you will sit at a dinner for 8-9 hours until something interesting happens. Oh, so sometimes
right.
it's like
trying to make it just get out of there.
Yeah, well, and you know, usually there are things that are said, you know, and also if you say stuff to producers, just be careful because it's probably going to come back.
100%.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think you just have to be smart, and it's hard because you're living in a bubble for, you know, 4 to 5 months. And with people that, I mean, they're smart. With people that you're really not – friends with and you're so different with, then there's going to be some drama.
Yeah. Well, and the producer, you're being fueled. Like, they're telling you.
They're always
fueling it.
And you do. You get a little, like, you get, you know, a little paranoid. You're like, oh, my gosh, what, you know, and what's being said behind my back? What's going on? So, yeah, I mean, this year was hard because, you know, like, I went in with my best friend, and then in the beginning of the year, we weren't even talking. So this year, I was extremely stressed out and paranoid in the beginning, and then towards the end, I was like, okay, as long as I have this friendship intact. Yeah. But it's hard. It's also hard to maintain friendships.
That was another thing I was curious about. You know, you keep hearing about all these relationships that are marriages that are ending from The Housewives. There's, like, two divorces going on right now and friendships that are just fizzling and blowing up in flames. I'm so curious how you manage your relationship and your marriage and your kids and all that, and it go unaffected.
Well, it doesn't. The season one, before I even started filming, I talked to Travis. I'm like, we have got to be in therapy just to make sure that we're talking about everything, to make sure that our marriage is on track, and to make sure that it doesn't go off track.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so hard. With the children, I'm just a mama bear, honestly. Like, a lot of times this year, you'll see, like, that I have one child filming with me and the other one not there. And it's just because I realize that I get paid for this. So, yes, I guess I am for sale in a sense. But my children are not getting paid. And they're 6 and 8. And I'm not going to humiliate them at school. So if they come home and one of them's in a really bad mood, he's had a hard day, I'm not going to say, awesome, well, come film with mommy and let the whole world see how pissed off you are today. Yeah. So I will, if one of them is in a bad mood, I will separate him and just have, like, my other child come film with me. Because I do think it's important to, like, Travis and I, what we say and what we do, we're adults. But kids, you have to protect. Yeah. Like, those are my babies. Yeah. So that's my biggest thing. Like, as long as I can protect them. And that's kind of how that's I did smart. It this year. Yeah. Yeah.
So on one of our past podcasts, we talked about working with your spouse. So Carrie works with her
Mark.
Husband.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So is there a weird, like, is there any issue as far as them working together? Or has that been confide in you? And
you know, I think sometimes it's hard. She kind of cut back a lot this year.
Yeah.
And now I feel like they just opened a new like medical spa. So they're doing more like laser therapies. Okay. And I think she's really hands on with that.
Okay.
But I think for her and Mark, I feel like they've done it for so long. I think they're able to have a really nice balance. I mean, sometimes I think they get on each other's nerves. But I think that she does more injectables and lasers, and he's more surgery. And she goes in for the tough surgeries, but a lot of the surgeries she kind of stays away from because they're together so much, even on camera.
So are they both physicians? Or is she a RN?
So she's a nurse first assistant. So she's actually a nurse that goes in and helps with surgeries and everything as well.
So Derek Meredith.
I know.
I hear that you're
trying to bring it back in. Always bringing it back to Grace.
Yes.
I mean, it seems ideal, but I would think like working with your husband and having that, you know, both very strong personalities and especially in the workplace.
I think it works, but Carrie's really good at not really complaining about her husband that much. Okay. Like, I complain a lot. Like, I'm like, Travis has pissed me off today, but she's really pretty good about that.
Yeah. So what do you fight about?
Oh, money.
So honest, I love it. I feel like that's everyone.
No. Yeah.
Wait, that's interesting. Like, you spend too much?
Yeah, like, I think he's, pretty much. I mean, in a nutshell, like, right now we're remodeling and furnishing a house, and he's, like, always, like, he always gets annoyed with me because I want to buy all new furniture, and I spend a lot, and I hide things from him. Like, I'll buy a new purse, and then, like, take, you know, things out of the closet, like, every month.
But you're making money.
I know. But he's always just like, oh, my gosh, you spend, like, crazy.
Did you work before Housewives?
I did. I worked in the social service field. So I worked for homeless pregnant women and their children for 6 years. And then I also worked for Head Start. So I did social work for women and children.
Okay, so this is actually really funny because our Ask a Guy question this week is where we ask a guy his opinion on a certain subject. And this week it's, what if the woman makes more money in her career? And what if the woman is more passionate in her career? So what are your thoughts on that? How's that dynamic?
So my housewife's money, he's very nice. Like, he does pay all my taxes with it, and I do get to keep it all. So I am very lucky. Like, he's like, we need to pay taxes. I'm like, no, because you're in a higher tax bracket than me, and that's just not fair. But honestly, he makes more money than me, and he's honestly much. I mean, like his career, he eats, lives, breathes it. He's so good at it, so he's probably more passionate. I'm really not passionate about fighting with my friends. Yeah. And if I was, that would be so horrible. But no, but he really loves what he does, and he's very generous. But he is like that person that I feel like is always. He's always like, you know, a fool and his money will be separated. We can't act foolish, and I act foolish with money. Because if I want something, I just so buy hard, it right? And hide it. Yeah.
I know. The hiding part is like the best.
I know.
I do.
I need a guy who is more like, you know, structured, because I'm just free Same. For all.
But it's really cute because my dad's so like, he wears like Levi jeans. He pays like $25 for his clothes. And my mom will come home from shopping and he'll be like, oh, how much was that bag? It's like a YSL bag. She's like, it was $20. Like, oh, yeah. So great.
What a steal.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, what a steal. YSL. Yeah. Yeah.
So oh, lying. So lying
good.
Is
See,
the key.
It's, yeah. It's good. Yeah. I know.
Lying
yeah.
is the key to a successful marriage.
It really is.
That's what we learned. Okay. So tell us where we can watch the reunion. And I'm excited to see what all the drama happens tonight.
Oh, it's very special. Pool. No, we got rid of the indoor pool too. Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah, it's like, well, we move in January, but the house has been like 7 months of like gutting and totally different.
So I remember no you pool? Telling me about yes. this in Austin. So
yes.
This is the house that y'all are moving into.
Yes, so cool. We bought it, we're moving into, but it was so not kid friendly. It looked almost like you were at a hotel. Does that make sense? It was like just so yeah, I worked about 7 months on it, which is why this is all of our fighting right now. Yeah. It's getting expensive, yes.
That's part of it too.
Yeah.
Okay, so reunion special?
Yeah, so the reunion is two parts. So it's going to be this month or today and next Monday, 10, 9 central. And I hope you guys check it out and I hope you're at least a little entertained.
I'm sure.
I'm always entertained. So much drama. I love it.
No. Well, thank you so much for coming
in.
It was so fun.
You guys are so sweet. Thank you.
Yay.
So fun.
She was so cute.
So cute.
That ring? That ring.
Right.
That was no Neil Lane.
I wish.
Proud
I think the diamond was the size of my eyeball. Literally.
It was large.
It was large.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. We're happy for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any successful relationship, I'm like, good on you.
I know. Beyond the ring, just 10 years of marriage and kids, it's like, good for you. Off of a drunken makeout.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
If you just believe.
Okay, so our Ask a Guy topic. We have an email from Mindy. Hey, Becca. Sorry, guys. You're not included in this one. I love the segment where you call guys to get their perspective. I'm wondering if you can do a call with the following question prompt. I recently dated a guy, and one of the reasons he ended it was because he felt I was more passionate about my career than he was. I work hard, but I'm not a workaholic and make plenty of time for him. So either he was reading too much into my job or was intimidated by my career success.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Are we
talking
about it?
Well, you know, me and my guy, our biggest fights normally come from me being so passionate about my job.
You know, I think it's more about money than it is about passion.
But typically, I would say someone who's super passionate about their job is making money if it's the right career. I think if it's the right career, the right person's, they're making money. Probably more money.
Yeah. I don't know. Someone?
I don't know if it's about money. I think it's about success. I think there's a difference between money and success. It just depends on, I guess, how you calculate success. I think if you're very passionate, you'll be successful no matter what. But what is success to you? You know what I'm saying?
Like, JoJo, do you think your brothers would like it if they had a wife or a girlfriend that made more money than them?
So I think my brothers are different. Like, I have Matt and Ben. They both are very successful. I think Ben wants a girl who's very passionate about work. I don't think he cares about money. He just wants somebody that's very passionate about doing anything, something. I think they both want passion. I don't think that they care as much about how much money they make.
Okay, but it's interesting because a girl, I don't know any women who are like, ugh, my husband makes more money than me or my spouse makes more money than
right,
me. So
right.
This is causing so many fights. But you hear it way more from the guys having an issue with the women making more money. So is that a thing with like the man wanting to be the leader and the
provider?
Yeah. Is that like,
I mean, I'm sure it's like their ego, but at the same time, like, good for you if you have a wife that is just
crushing it,
crushing the game. I wouldn't want to be with a man that's like
offended or not offended.
Not supporting like your
feeling inferior about that. Yeah, that's what I think.
I also think it has to do with emasculation in terms of early on in a relationship, he wants to be impressive to your friends. He wants to be impressive to your family and your parents. And he doesn't want to feel that he's losing respect from you or the people in your world.
That's so true.
I totally agree with that.
It's something that I feel like a lot of people say that to me. They're like, Tanya, I feel like you intimidate a lot of men. And I'm like, but do I? Or is that just an excuse?
What?
You maybe you've got a career that's going well.
That's amazing. People should be supporting that.
I used to say I did not care if I made more money. Oh, I'm fine with that. I could totally be the breadwinner. Nope. I was lying to myself.
So you want a guy, obviously, that makes more than you.
It doesn't have to be more, but
equally as successful.
Something like that, because I thought the other until I got into sort of a thing, and it was awful. Yeah. It was so awful.
I know that's bad.
And people will probably write hateful emails to me, but like, I can just only tell you how I feel. It didn't work.
No, I could understand like how it could make you feel a certain type of way. That's not, I mean, I get it.
Is this part of our like politically correct conversation?
I only have 5-10 minutes left to talk. I did want to talk about that.
Maybe next time. Everything has to be politically correct.
I'm so over it. I'm sorry.
We were talking.
Yeah, go.
No, I'm just saying, I'm so over it. You can't write a caption. You can't say something on air. You can't say anything without someone being offended by it. And I feel like we walk around on eggshells every single day of our life, and I'm over it. Like, have a sense of humor. Like, relax.
Do you know what I found? I completely agree with you. I think it's gotten to, like, the next level. But I think that if you say something and it's, like, your conviction, like, you believe it, people are going to have opinions no matter what. No matter what you say. I can say I like bubblegum, and I'm going to have, like, the Bubblegum Association haters or whatever, you know? But whatever. But I think if you're passionate about it and it's true to who you are, I think you just have to say it. Like, I've said some things on air before that I've offended people, and I've gotten some tweets about it, and
There's such a difference, though. Like, I don't think any of us in this room are saying things to be offensive or to hurt people. I would never say anything to hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah.
If it's being unaware of how certain people take things, I just feel like there needs to be some sort of grace given.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like there's no grace
anymore.
Well,
so let's talk about Ellen DeGeneres. Did you guys see the photo she posted for Katy Perry's birthday?
Oh, yes. She's looking.
I think it's hilarious. And she got, like, a lot of grief about it.
Because she was, like, pointing at her boobs or something?
She was, looking at her boobs. And it was right around the Harvey, wasn't it, or the Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
This is my thing. Why is everyone entitled to an opinion until you disagree with their opinion? Then it's not. You're not allowed to have an opinion. Like, everyone's like, you're allowed to have your own opinion. That's the whole thing. Until you disagree with the
majority. There's such a fine line, I feel, between, like, speaking your truth and not offending somebody because you don't know what their truth is. It's just hard these days. Everything's so...
I guess if we were like mean-spirited and like out to hurt people.
Yeah.
I posted a caption and I said something about... this is what kind of sparked this conversation. I posted a caption. I said it was for Pawn's face wipes, getting her makeup off. And I said, is anyone else OCD about not getting makeup? And I would say I'm almost like a weirdo about it. Like, I really don't like it. I get that there's people who have OCD and it's like a serious thing to where they can't leave the house because it's that drastic.
Right.
But in no way was my caption supposed to be offensive.
That's what I'm saying. But I have a lot of like weird OCD things that I do. I mean, we all know.
Would that offend you?
No, not at all.
And I also feel like there's different levels.
I thought it was funny.
Right. Like, I think I'm OCD about certain things.
Same.
And even though I've been medically diagnosed, like, I am obsessive and compulsive about certain things.
Right.
So I don't know.
But
I think if you literally have an opinion on literally anything, you're gonna get hate,
which sucks
about it.
That sucks.
A lot of people do not want to tell somebody else at work now, like, oh, you look nice, or oh, I really like your outfit.
Right.
They're totally scared of it. But I also think these things come and go. I remember this happening 10 years ago or 20 years ago or something, where everybody was all freaky and then it goes away.
There's just so many things. Remember that girl, you know, cash me outside, how about that? You know, that girl, I did a hashtag. It was a photo of Beck and I was like, cash me outside. People freaked out.
What about that?
Just saying that I'm promoting someone who's that disrespectful
and how
my morals aren't aligned. I was like, whoa.
Do you want to know the
crazy
the tip of the iceberg where I was like, we are in a very strange world right now?
What?
There was this baby born in Canada and the mom didn't put a it was the first birth certificate where the mom didn't put a gender because she said it was going against the child's rights to choose what gender. I'm like, and then the lawyer or whoever was working for her didn't have any capital letters in her name because she didn't want it to be, there was like a reason why she didn't have like a capital first letter of her name. I was like, well, these two belong together.
I think moral of this conversation is people need to be a little more forgiving also. People are so quick to
toughen up a little bit.
Well, I mean, I guess there's a lot of morals to the story.
I know. We'll I think people just need to chill out. Yeah. Like, not be so offended by everything.
I know. Not everyone's out to get you.
No.
True. That's the moral. Not everyone's out to get you.
Give people the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, I said one day that I thought adults that sleep with teddy bears were freaks, and I got a lot of hate on that. And I stand by it. I stand by it. I do not care. If you are over the age of 18 and you're sleeping with a baby blanket or animal, we're done.
Good.
And I don't care. Bring on the hate. Tweets, texts, send them our way.
Yeah, come on. Come at us. We're
come at me, bro.
Cash me outside.
How about that?
Okay, so anyway, sorry we got off topic a little bit, but we're going to do our Ask a Guy segment now. Okay. I love this part because we are so, we have Mark, he like chimes in, but
thank you.
Mark's standing alone, so we have to bring in the other guys.
I thought we were going to talk about how we, if guys overanalyze like we do.
That was part of it. We did say.
That's a great question. I want to know the answer to
we
that.
We had one guy that wrote us on Slack.
On Slack. Simon slacked me, and he said that guys do obsess just as much as we do.
I have proof.
Woo.
I forgot. Woo. I thought of this in the shower.
Oh. Best
Luke
ideas come in
Bryan's
the shower.
Luke Bryan's song, Light It Up. Do you guys know Luke Bryan's song, Light It Up? Pull up the lyrics.
I know it, but I don't know
the whole song is, I'm neurotic, I'm staring at my phone, I'm staring at my phone, light it up, please light it up. So maybe he's not analyzing his text messages, but he is freaking out for the girl to light him up.
Yeah.
Boom.
See? We think they don't, but they do.
I have to call my Uber.
Okay.
Sorry to put that out
JoJo's
there.
JoJo's got
to
go do her hair.
I have to get my hair done.
JoJo's got to go.
I'm so sad I'm missing this little phone call you're about to make, but I'm pushing confirm Uber. So I'll have to catch y'all outside later.
It's great having you. Thanks for being here. Okay. Making time for us.
Love you guys. Hopefully you'll invite me back. Okay, my Uber's 1 minute away. Love you guys.
Love you. We'll see you later on.
I'll see you later.
Thanks for being here. Bye, JoJo. Good luck with your hair.
See you in 7 hours.
See you in 24 hours. Yeah. That's how long it'll take. Okay, so we have Brooks on the phone. Wait, do I know this Brooks? Brooks from Tahoe?
Hi,
hey, Brooks, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great. We have Tanya here.
Hi, Brooks.
Have y'all met? I don't know if y'all met.
I don't think I have met Tanya.
I don't think so.
That's just unfortunate.
But you sound great.
You too, Tanya.
Oh.
Okay, so we have a few questions for you.
Okay.
Should we start with the analyzing? Because I like that one.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to know, do you, if you are kind of talking with a girl at the beginning of a relationship, getting to know someone, do you overanalyze text messages or how often they're texting you or when you should text them?
Oh, that's always going to be a function of how much you like somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Don't we all give it a little extra thought if we're acutely interested.
But girls, this is what we do. We send a text and then we reread it.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the time we sent it. Mm-hmm. We count the minutes that have passed since we sent it.
True.
Then we reread it again.
Very true.
Then we read it to our friends. And then we start panicking and read it to our friends. So do guys go to that level or is it more just you think about it?
I don't think so. I don't think guys in general do per se, but having come out of the womb with a woman myself, with a twin sister.
Oh, I was like, wait, what?
That took a little explaining. We all were like, oh.
Wait. Yeah, that might have been a little TMI for a Monday, huh?
I have a question. Have you ever screenshotted a conversation with a girl and sent it to a friend of yours to get their take on like what to respond with?
Not in the context of early dating scenarios, but certainly in the context of unfortunate breakups.
Okay.
Oh, so you do it more at the end. I feel like guys are a little more sensitive at the end when things end than they are maybe at the beginning of being like all gushy and butterfly-y.
I mean, that said, I try to be thoughtful and responsive in the context of text exchange and early exchanges.
Okay.
All right.
Meaning don't leave things hanging out there if somebody sends you something thoughtful. Don't just make it seem ignored.
I mean, yeah, that's the goal is to not feel ignored or forgotten.
Right.
That's all we're really looking for. It's not like we need a proposal.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel here. Just don't ignore us and don't forget about us.
I think those are reasonable expectations and pretty good indicator of the quality of person if they are not responsive in a context that should be responded to.
There you go. I like that. Okay, our other question is it a problem if a woman makes more money than you or is more passionate in her career than you?
Well, given that I'm trying to be retired at 47, I would have to say that can't be an issue for me because I'm hopeful that they're trying to carve theirs out in the world. I mean, and I think that's probably unique to my age and having had a moderately successful career of my own. So that's not threatening to me.
Oh, so you, like, if a woman's like making more money or more passionate than you, you're not intimidated by that?
No. I mean, again, in the context of trying to be retired with investments. So what is retirement?
Why does that entice you so much? To me, retirement seems so boring.
Yeah, what do you do with your time?
Like yard work?
I mean, come on.
Golf.
As a human being on this planet, is time an issue for any of us? I golf a ton. I ski a ton. I travel a ton. I'm driving out of San Francisco right now, where my social world is still heavily based.
He's an adventurer.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't really struggle with it. That, I mean, certainly you have your mornings and occasional days where you get a little restless, but that certainly beats the dreading going into an office on Monday or desperately waiting for Friday to come.
That's true. I mean, I prefer, even if I'm rarely restless on my couch, but if I happen to be restless on my couch, it's better than being restless sitting in an office or something.
Right. I mean, that's a pretty high quality problem to try and reconcile.
True. Mm. All right. Well, we appreciate you. Thank you for taking your time and chatting with us, giving us a guy's opinion.
Well, I appreciate you reaching out. It's nice to talk to you, Becca.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Tanya.
Nice to meet you, Brooke.
Have a safe trip. We'll see you when you're down here in L.A.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Should we call my brother?
Should we? It's more like, when can we? We should have him on speed dial.
I think this is interesting because he's young, like kind of just getting into his career.
Totally.
So, yeah.
He's what, 24?
24.
Mm-hmm. He might have a very interesting guy.
He might be like, please, sugar mama, save me. Chris.
What's up?
We needed the expert.
Last time I got a little bit of a heads up. I was a little caught off guard this time.
Oh.
And now they're all, he's not answering. I'm like, 1 second.
Well, sometimes, Chris, we're sitting here and we think, what would Chris say about this?
Here we go again.
So here we go.
Now, we need all the honesty and sarcasm and wit that you can provide us with, okay?
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
So we just got Brooks, who's 47. We got his opinion on these topics. So we wanted someone, you know, younger, and I thought, who better to call?
Perfect.
Okay. So first of all, we want to know, do guys overanalyze text messages? Like, do you overanalyze if you text a girl how long it takes for her to respond, or do you look back on what you sent her and, like, overthink it?
Yes, I think we overthink it. Sometimes worse than other times. But I do that. I don't do that just with girls. I do that with everybody.
You're just paranoid.
Like, if I respond, like, if I send something to the family group tech and nobody responds, I'm like, man, what did I do?
That happens a lot, though. Even I sometimes don't even initiate things because I can't handle the rejection of no one responding.
I know. I start thinking, I'm like, you know, I go a couple of days without talking to mom, and I'm like, man, is she upset?
I do the same thing with mom. I'm like, why hasn't she called me? And then I'm like, maybe I should call her.
That's true.
I think back to my last conversation with her, and I'm like, God, did I use any, like, curse words?
Wait, but Chris.
Yes. Go ahead.
Do you ever take screenshots of your conversations with girls and send them to your friends to get their opinion on what you should say?
No, never.
That's a hard no. That was a hard no.
First of all, that's a little too far. I think that's more of a girl thing.
Uh-huh.
Also, my friends are all terrible with dating, so they wouldn't be much help.
Okay.
And they would, like, harass you for that.
Oh, yeah. You're setting yourself up for some serious backlash. Kate Oliver, Lane Oliver. You gotta watch what you say to those guys. But I think guys over. I mean, you start to overanalyze it, but I don't ever like screenshot it, you know, to a group text like a group of girls.
My friend Angie and I spent one full hour analyzing a text trail that her husband said, like, please stop. He just doesn't have his phone. And we were like, no. And we analyzed it for so long, and we were 1,000,000% wrong.
Yeah.
He totally just didn't
have
his phone.
I don't usually, when I overanalyze it, it's not like lack of response time. It's more kind of the content of it, you know? Like, did that come across in a way that I didn't necessarily mean it? Especially, you know, with sarcasm, sometimes that can come across on a text message. When you don't hear the person say it, you don't hear their tone, it can really come across not the way you meant it.
Right, yeah, I agree. Okay, our other question, and I like this one for you, but is it a problem if a girl that you're dating is more successful and makes more money than you, or is more passionate about her career?
Golly, that's a tough one because I'm going to sound like a scumbag if I say yes. As a man, I think, yeah, you kind of want to be the breadwinner of the household.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's great. You know, you find a great girl with a good career, makes a lot of money. I could see myself being a stay-at-home dad. You know anybody? Anybody in particular?
I mean, you do have experience changing diapers. You can do that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was that Lone Star song a while back, like Mr. Mom or something like that. I could make that work.
So you're down with the sugar mama is what you're saying.
Yeah, I could be. Yeah, absolutely.
Lone Star.
But and that sounds bad because it's like, oh, man, wow, you know, that sounds terrible for a guy to act like, oh, you don't want, you're intimidated by.
No, I don't think that's bad. I don't think that's bad at all.
That's the conversation. I think a lot of guys want to be the provider, but is it necessarily like a negative thing if you're not? Or is it just kind of like, oh, man. But I'm happy that I'm with someone who's passionate and successful.
I don't think it's a negative. I think a big part of it is your father-in-law.
Yeah.
I think about the movie Meet the Parents, where you know he's just a nurse. He's not a real doctor.
Oh right, right, right.
And Robert De Niro just gives him hell the whole trip.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you know. But like I said, I would love to find somebody that, you know, is well established and makes good money. So, Tanya, what's up, girl?
Chris, I would only be so lucky, please.
Yeah, well, I don't make very much, so I'm going to need all the help I can get.
Yeah, but you're so young. That's what we're saying. Like, as someone who's young, if you met someone who's your age and she's, you know, let's say she is a little more established in her career, but maybe you have the potential to be the breadwinner. Like,
right.
It's not a deal breaker.
Well, and you know, nowadays everything's so expensive. You know, some households that, you know, the mom, all she does is stay at home. Dad, you know, you have a decent job. There's a lot of things you don't, just from a financial standpoint, you're not able to do. Whereas if you have money coming in from husband and wife, you know, that really opens up the door to do a lot more fun activities.
True.
You got to put your ego aside. Say, hey, look, she makes more money than I do. I outkick my coverage. So again, Tanya, call me.
Oh, you're the best.
Chris, do you have any plans to move to LA ever?
Never say never.
Okay, I like that answer.
I didn't ever really think I would be living in Atlanta, but I just take it one day at a time.
Okay.
You're slow and steady.
Maybe one day.
Slow and steady. I like this. Let's put it in the universe.
Yeah.
All right. Tanya Tilly has a nice ring to it.
I'm telling you. It's got a ring. You know, we'd have to get over, like I said, your issues with texting might be a problem, but we can work around it.
Could you imagine if we started dating and I'm screenshotting him and sending to Becca being like, help, how do I respond to this one?
Like, this is so weird.
That would be, that'd be a tough spot.
Yeah.
For me.
I might put a real real clamp on our relationship, to be honest.
All right. Well, thanks for answering.
Tanya, you had him and you just blew it. Like, right before my eyes, you literally had Chris and you just screwed it up.
How did I blow it?
You screw it up?
Yeah.
Because you just admitted you're going to
go to his sister about your relationship.
Yeah, I go to Becca for everything.
I'd kind of forgotten about it, and then I just got a hint of anxiety. So I'm gonna need some space.
Well, you have a week before we call you again, so enjoy all the space you can get.
Excellent. Will do.
All right. Love you.
Love you. Talk to y'all later.
All right, bye.
Love you.
Didn't get it back.
Love you.
I tend to do that. Shoot myself in the foot.
I never seen a car crash that quick.
If you were on The Housewives, what would your tagline be? I'm Tanya.
I'm Tanya, and I screw things up before they even start.
Literally.
It's a talent, I swear.
I mean,
what would your tagline be?
I feel nothing.
Hi, my name is Becca Tilly, and I feel nothing.
Sure.
I mean, actually pretty accurate.
Wow.
It's not.
I smell something. It smells heavenly in this room.
It smells delicious. McDonald's, I love a good French fry.
Yeah, I mean, McDonald's brought us lunch today, and we just want to say thank you. They brought us. I smell French fries. It's like invading my everything. McRib is back. That is Dean Unglert just walked in the building. He raised his arms. He raised his arms like he was making an entrance. I texted you a few times. I've gotten response. So.
Oh.
Yeah. You got anything to say?
I text you back every single time.
No, you didn't.
You said.
Did I look at it?
Yeah, let's look at it. I don't think I have it on my phone.
I would just like to say, I text you a lot, and sometimes you don't respond, and I have to go, Becca, hello, 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 hello. So this is karma.
This is not the same thing. I haven't talked to him in like weeks.
I'll send you like Instagram messages often.
Deanie Baby was his name. Weenie Baby is his game.
What am I supposed to say in response to
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's true.
What? You could say, what am I supposed to say in response to that?
I thought you were just like bored, like going through your...
No, I saw a photo of you, and I was like, I haven't seen Dean in so long. I'm going to see how he is.
Okay, well, so now I know. That's you asking me how I am.
That was a greeting. A rap, per se.
Oh. Wait, but you'll Instagram message her?
Yeah, no. Like when she dressed up for Halloween.
Back? Well, this was after that.
It's just like, it's like a, I don't know. It's like a catalyst to have a conversation instead of saying these ridiculous rap rhyme thingies.
Some people said that Klein looked like Dean.
Wait.
No, my Halloween costume.
You were Klein. That's right. That's right. Yeah. You look like my brother.
Were you excited about it?
Not so much.
I'm going to sign off the mic now.
Bye. Okay, so we had a fun day today.
We had a really fun day today.
I want to say thank you to JoJo Fletcher.
Hey, JoJo Fletcher.
Stephanie Hallman. Reminder, Real Housewives of Dallas reunion show airs tonight, Monday, and next Monday on Bravo.
I had so many more questions to ask JoJo. I feel like she wasn't here long enough.
We'll have her in again.
Okay.
Next week. We'll fly her out.
Okay, perfect.
Get her in studio. And of course, Dean for joining
us. Hey, Dean.
Next week, we'll break down a promising episode of Grey's Anatomy. Mark, do you have a synopsis?
Okay, I do, and it looks good. This is their 300th episode.
I told you guys this was a promising turning point.
It's called Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story. After a roller coaster car falls off the track at the county fair, the doctors at Grace Loan tend to patients who spark memories about ghosts from their past.
Derek Shepherd.
I don't know if I can handle that.
Oh, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. And can I tell you guys, we can talk about this next week. I read an article on BuzzFeed that basically says every single episode of Grey's Anatomy is a song title.
You know what?
Did I send you that?
And I was offended that
you never knew.
Exactly. That I'm like, you're not even a fan.
Oh, you knew this the whole time?
Forever.
Oh.
Like, talk to me when you're on my level. Okay. Also,
sorry, you have a Grey's Anatomy. You have Meredith Grey on your back now.
Yeah. Sorry that you're not Meredith Grey. Including another topic we need to discuss next week. Is it okay to toot in front of your partner? I love that I'm saying toot because my mom hated when I said fart growing up. And so like if she listens to this, I feel like she's gonna be proud that I said toot instead of fart.
I actually have a very strong opinion on this, so we used to be one way. I used to be one way, and I completely changed my toot.
So I guess Bonnie emailed us about that and has an opinion. Also, Janet Kramer will be here. She was Alex on One Tree Hill. Did you watch One Tree Hill?
Did I?
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to her about that. She was on Dance with the Stars, and she's a singer as well. She has an amazing voice. She's a triple threat.
Sounds like a quadruple threat. Dancer, singer, Tree Hiller.
That's three.
Pretty, isn't she? Isn't that a thing?
Okay, fine. She's a quadruple. She's pretty, too. Okay, until then, you want to call it or am I? Did you call us?
Yeah, you can call it.
Time of death, 12:44 p.m.